G'day everybody, my name is Elliot Waters and you're listening to the Dysregulated Podcast. As always, thank you for tuning in. So today's episode is just another quick check-in to see how I've been travelling, and there's been a bit going on. So the major news over the last fortnight is that my sister got married, which is wonderful. It was great. It was a great day, very wholesome, and for the most part, I enjoyed it. Now, the wedding was always going to be a high-risk sort of situation for me, probably on two fronts. So the first one being, you know, the thoughts and the ruminations around, am I ever going to get a day like this myself? And, you know, am I just destined to be alone and blah, blah. Yeah, you know all the stuff. I've been through it before. But I was able to sort of compartmentalize it and push it aside and enjoy the day and enjoy it for my sister. And it was really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. More good news is that I didn't succumb to drinking alcohol, even though that was probably the toughest test that I've had so far. So that'll be its own separate episode coming soon. But the good news is, though, that the non-drinking streak continues, and I'm very, very happy about that. And I am, because, you know, if I was drinking, that would have amplified the negative, because that's what it does for me and for a lot of other people. It would have amplified the, oh my God, I'm alone, all that sort of stuff. And the fact that I was sober and not engaging with, you know, drinking and stuff, I was able to effectively push those thoughts aside. Don't get me wrong, they were there for sure. You know, I was thinking, oh, you know, it'd be lovely if I got this, and this is what I would say at my wedding if I got married and was doing a speech, etc. But, you know, it was just small little sort of voice, and I was able to be like, all right, enough of that. Let's get back to having a good time. So that's really good. The problem is that after the wedding, I slept for 2.5 days. Oh, it's so frustrating sleeping on my days off. Today's a day off. Today's Sunday. I didn't work today, and I haven't gone to sleep during the day, although I'm pretty tired. But at the same time, this has been good. I'm awake. This is great. But last weekend, I was asleep for 2.5 days. It was so bad that, you know, I'm a big Newcastle Knights supporter in the footy here in Australia. And the Knights were playing Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, a Sydney team. And there was an away game. So, you know, I was going to go down, but I didn't in the end. But what I would have done or should have done is watch it on TV. Now, my alarm, I set an alarm for when the game was the kickoff, and I woke up and rolled back over and went back to sleep. And that is unusual. You know, I don't miss Knights games. It's you know, that tells me that we were very, very fatigued. It was maybe a good thing I didn't watch it, because we got beaten pretty easily, which is a bit sad. But in saying that, today, Sunday, the Knights played today and beat the Dolphins. So we're back. And it's amazing how much of an impact a Newcastle Knights victory has on me and my mental health. It's probably not healthy, but it's good when we win, that's for sure. But yeah, I did the whole sleeping thing after the wedding, which I can only assume it was the 5 a.m. working week that I do. So I went into Saturday pretty tired as it is, but I don't know. I think it's all this social interaction that's just wearing me out. And I was thinking today too, now that I'm full-time at Bunnings, which has got a lot of, you know, customer-facing work, a lot of people, you know, that come up and ask questions, and the phone rings, people ringing in to see if we've got stock, all that sort of stuff. It's very consistent over and over and over again that I'm talking to people in my job. And I'd like to know, and I'm going to have a good think about this, whether a lot of this sleeping stuff has started when I started full-time at Bunnings, because potentially a lot of this has been caused by social fatigue. My social capacity has never been massive, and I'm starting to think now that maybe full-time at Bunnings, customer service constantly, it's actually wearing me out big time. So I don't know, that's just a little thought I had this afternoon. Not sure how valid it is, but I'm going to have a think about it, and I'll let you know, because that's very, very interesting if true. Because to be honest, it's not a job suited for people like me. It's just not. You know, I would be better, or am better, when I'm sort of left on my own, sort of just working away, you know, doing my thing. Constantly having to talk to people is something I find very, very difficult. So, yeah, I do wonder, if maybe going full-time and all that sort of social interaction is part of the reason, at least, why I have this sleeping thing. Because the wedding, right? The wedding, good example. Constantly talking to people, you know, there was everyone's, oh, yeah, because everyone sort of knew me, I guess, because I'm the brother, but, you know, all these people coming up and saying hello and all that, and it was really nice, but man, it just wore me out big time. So, yeah, I don't know, maybe the whole sleeping thing is actually caused by social fatigue, I'm not sure. Now, with the sleeping thing, what usually follows that is the sweats. Now, yes, the sweats came on, but I was able to stop it in its tracks. But the problem is the way that I did it is not sustainable. So what I did, I could feel the sweats coming on through the night, kept tossing and turning, the sun's coming up. That's when I start to get real stressed and the real sweat kicks in once the sun comes up after a night of tossing and turning. But what I did was have some Seroquel or quetiapine, the antipsychotic that I take for sleep. I had some of that and just about instantly I felt better. So that tells me it's mental, because the Seroquel wouldn't have kicked in yet and I was already feeling better and the sweats were sort of easing up because I knew that I'd done something that, well, will work because it puts you to sleep. But the problem is it puts you to sleep. So it's not sustainable, because I had to miss a day of work again because I was too fatigued to be able to get out of bed. And part of that was because I had the Seroquel in the morning. You don't do that. So, you know, so I slept off the sweats, which was great. That was a good result because, you know, I'll be honest, I'm petrified of them coming back in a really severe way. I am. I still haven't gone through that really, really bad episode a couple of weeks ago, but I will soon, definitely. But the sweats really, really worry me. And look, if Seroquel's the option and it just knocks me out and, you know, the sweats stop and we go back to normal, I'll do it. But it'd be great if there was another option that didn't sort of, you know, write off a day or two of being able to go to work or just be productive in general. Because I think another part of the sweats and the sleeping, I think subconsciously my mind knows that there's things that I need to be doing because I've got a lot of projects on the run, all that sort of stuff. And that subconscious mind knows that when I'm asleep, I ain't achieving anything. And I've got a feeling that really drives a lot of this stress as well. And a lot of it isn't conscious. A lot of it, I don't, a lot of these thought processes, I have a funny feeling. I'm actually not aware of and don't perceive them. So there you go. The subconscious, you got to clear the subconscious. You do, because it controls so much more than you know, because we don't know. That's the thing. We don't perceive it. So it's a difficult one. It's a tough one. So I think that's where the sweats are coming from. I think it's being driven by my subconscious mind that knows that we need to be doing stuff, but we ain't doing it. So I don't know. Anyway, watch this space. There's going to be a lot more about these sweats, I think, coming, because I need to figure out what's going on. Because as I said, I am petrified of the next sweats episode. If it's worse than the last one, so the last one, I won't go into too much detail, but it involved me face down in the emergency department at the MARTA, absolutely bawling my eyes out. So it was bad. It was bad, and it was in public, and it was bad. And I'm going to tell you all about that soon, I promise. Speaking of things I need to talk to you about, excuse me, is that a lot of this show has focused on things that are happening now. This episode's a very good example of that. And I'm thinking it might be time to really go back and look at my past and see where a lot of this negative emotion and you know, self-esteem issues and all that, where that comes from. I've spoken a little bit about when I was 16, how important and pivotal that was to my sort of prognosis, I suppose, moving forward. But there's a lot of material there that I think will offer a lot of great insight. And it'll be good for me, I think, to go back and look at, you know, my teenage years or even younger when I was a kid, because there's a lot there that I need to unwrap and sort of, you know, put on the shelf and be like, all right, we've dealt with that, put it away. So that'll be fun. That'll be really fun. But yeah, so I'm going to, because someone messaged in and was asking about, you know, where this all came from. And I was like, yeah, I haven't really spoken about that. So that's coming soon, I promise. The other thing that is worth mentioning, which I probably should have mentioned before with the sleeping, but anyway, we'll do it now. brain zaps. So when I was asleep, I wasn't having medication, which is not good. So I went 3 days, I think, without med, or 2 days without meds, but clomipramine, the tricyclic antidepressant, the high strength sort of, you know, my core medication, you could say, clomipramine. I went 3 days without it because I actually ran out of it the day of the wedding. And I had an empty box next to my bedside table or on my bedside table because, you know, you got to hack the ADHD brain. So I was like, right, I'm going to forget. So if I put this box, empty box on my bedside table, that will jog my memory and be like, ah, I need to go fill that script. Well, that was all well and good because I was reminded when I woke up that, oh, I need to get a script. But the problem is my anxiety was so bad. I couldn't get out of my room. I could barely get out of bed for a drink of water. That was it. And there was no chance in that moment that I was going to be able to go to the chemist and be like, you know, hey, I'm in public, people looking at me, negatively judging me. That's what the social anxiety is telling me. Yeah, it's was just beyond me at that point. But I knew that, you know, I really needed that clomipramine script because things are only going to get worse. And eventually, I don't know how I did it. I think I had, it's all a bit blurry, which tells me I probably had a lot of pregabalin or Lyrica, which helps with the social anxiety. I have a feeling I had quite a bit of that to sort of just get, you know, in a headspace that's good enough that I could go to the chemist and get my medication. Simple stuff, but very, very difficult when you're battling all these mental illnesses, that's for sure. And it was tough because it was anxiety-provoking, the idea of going there, but it was also anxiety-provoking, the idea of not going there. So what do? I do freeze. No fight or flight, just freeze under my blankets. And that's what my response was until I was able eventually to get there. But I'll tell you what, the withdrawal effects of clomipramine, not good. So a lot of you listening will know about brain zaps. So I got really severe brain zaps. So what that is, it's hard to explain. It feels like an electric shock in the brain. And it tends to happen when I look around. So say I'm looking at something on my left, and then I look over to the right, boom, there'll be a brain zap. And they were quite severe. I've had brain zaps before from antidepressants, from sertraline, from venlafaxine or Effexor. They were bad. That were, the SNRIs in particular are really renowned for this phenomena, these withdrawal effects. So, but clomipramine is also an SNRI, but it's very strong on serotonin. So going 3 days without it, it was cold turkey and it was hell. Nauseous, sweating, sweats again. See, I'm always sweating. It's anyway. But yeah, it was quite challenging. And as I said, the worst part was that I knew I needed to go get the medication, but the idea of just stepping out of my room at that point was, you know, putting me into a panic attack. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough, you know. It's hard, this mental illness sort of stuff, because I've got so many sort of swirling around. I'm trying to, you know, get a, you know, smart, use a smart way to get around the problem that one particular illness is providing, but then another one's coming from another direction, which also needs attending to. And sometimes there's just too much going on. And that's why I tend to shut down, go into freeze mode, and hide under the blankets. It was terrible. I wasn't eating. I didn't eat for like 3 days either. So that made it worse. Barely drank water because I was too scared to go out to the kitchen and get water. It was not good. The sweats, like I said, I sort of avoided it because I used the Seroquel, but yeah, not sustainable. And leading up to that was pretty bloody hard. And then the idea of even getting medications, that proved very difficult. And again, assuming that I used a little bit more Lyrica than I'm prescribed to get there, that's also not sustainable. So I need to come up with some ways to get around this that isn't about, you know, not abusing, but using drugs as a crutch. So anyway, I'll figure that out hopefully, and I'll let you know. So that's probably it for now. So there's an episode coming soon of the Beyond the Bottle will be coming soon. I'll explain more about the wedding and the difficulties, but also the amazing moments as well, because it really was pretty cool. So that's coming soon. I'm definitely going to start looking at my past and bring that up again. I think I'm ready. I think I feel good enough to do that. So that's coming too. And that's probably about all I've got for now. So thank you everybody for listening as always. If you'd like to contact me, you can certainly do so on Instagram at elliot.t.waters, and you can like, subscribe, give the show a great rating, and you can share it around with your mates too. That'd be pretty cool. All right, thank you everybody. I'll see you next time here on the Dysregulated Podcast.